I call the March 19th, 2024 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and state the time.
Right, 7:01. Commissioner Borens absent. Commissioner Kobe?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider's absent. Commissioner Spector?
Here.
President Spain?
Here. Consent items A through C are routine. Does any commissioner want any item hold from the consent agenda items? Can I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented?
So
you're going to have to.
You're going to have to.
Roll call vote, please.
Hi, Commissioner Kobe?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Okay, I don't see any members of the public. We do have a commissioner who needs to leave at 8 a.m., therefore we're going to move up to
8 p.m.
8, thank you.
P.m. Is this 8 p.m.?
Yes. It's been a long day. Therefore, we're going to move up action items on the agenda, discuss, and vote at this point. I entertain a motion to move up all stated action items to be discussed and approved at this point of the meeting.
Any motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
I entertain a motion to approve the fiscal year 2024-2025 budget approval draft as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
No.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Kobe?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. I entertain a motion to approve American Outfitters apparel bid for 2024 at the per cost per item as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
President Spain?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
Commissioner Kobe?
Yes.
Try to shake it up a little bit.
I entertain a motion to approve the change of the start time of the April 2nd, 2024 Committee of the Whole meeting to 6 p.m. as presented.
Second.
I see the pause was the discussion. No discussion needed. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Kobe?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. And Lisa, did you say you're providing dinner at the...
Yes.
Okay.
I'll have dinner ready about 5:45.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve cancellation of the May 7th, 2024 Committee of the Whole meeting as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
Commissioner Kobe?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. I entertain a motion to approve Executive Director Lisa Shepherd to sign a 3-year contract with LSEC Technology for outsourced IT services in the amount of $86,400 per year as presented. Lisa, could you please talk about this item?
Yes, I'm going to throw it right over to John because he's the team leader on this project.
Thank you, Lisa. So our current contract with LSEC Caltech is set to expire at the end of the month. While we have worked out renewal terms on our existing contract back in the fall, they approached us earlier this year and somewhat moved the goalposts on what we had originally discussed, not significantly, but that combined with significant service issues that have bubbled up in the past 6 months prompted us to reach out to other vendors that do work with park districts. So we spoke with 4 other vendors and ultimately had 5 written quotes that we evaluated over the course of the past couple of months. Based on review of proposals and the on-site visits and interviews that were conducted, we're recommending that we move from ExCalTech to L6 Technologies for our managed IT services. With L6, we'd actually be a little less than what we had discussed and budgeted for back in the fall with ExCalTech. And we're also very optimistic that we're going to be able to achieve more cost savings on capital-related purchases. So for those reasons, we're ultimately recommending moving to L6 over moving on to ExCalTech.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How is the transition period going to be handled?
So we've worked that out with L6. going to be pretty quick, to be honest. They're anticipating one track, right track, will need to be taken down for about a half day. We're probably going to get a little more buffer for that.
Yep.
Beyond that, there should be a pretty seamless transition. They're going to work with ex-Caltech. We've worked out the details in terms of handing over passwords and everything. So that is all in the works.
Okay. You guys feel good?
Yeah, we're definitely kind of went through the evaluation, and L6 seems like the right fit for us based on what they were proposing and what we discussed with them.
Yeah. Even with the other one for how long? Years.
With ex-Caltech for about 14 years. So one of the things with ex-Caltech too is we have a long time client relationship manager that they ultimately let go last month too, so that was kind of, you know, the institutional knowledge that we built up with him was lost, so we also viewed it as maybe this is a good time to reset it with the loss of that individual.
Thank you.
Yep.
And you had good references?
Yeah, so we checked out references for L6. They're actually doing some work up at the Highland Park too, so we talked to all of their clients and very positive things to say.
Great.
And I'd just like to thank John and the team, because we all sat through all the interviews, but John's taken heavy lifting on this and has done an excellent job sourcing out good firms to look at. We feel this firm is eager to really work with us, and they're a smaller firm. ex-Caltech was getting a little too big, so we think this is a great fit.
Okay, would anyone entertain a motion to approve?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Spain?
Yes.
Commissioner Bobby?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
Okay.
I entertain a motion to approve the controller upgrade on both elevators at Jacob Center through OMNIA contract number 1.001563 in the amount of $39,600 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bobie?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Okay, so I had a moment to review the executive session minutes, which, Michael, these are in the manila, is that what we call the color?
Yep.
Folder. As I read this, you may want to consider that. I entertain a motion to approve audio tape destruction of closed executive session for which official minutes were approved and no litigation under the Open Meetings Act is pending from April 5th, 2022, May 9th, 2022, and June 21st, 2022, and approve the release of previously approved confidential closed executive session minutes February 20th, 2018, July 17th, 2018, September 17th, 2015, February 19th, 2014, and October 21st, 2014, and approve and release closed executive session minutes including January 9th, 2024, and February 20th, 2024, as mandated by 5 ILCS 120/2C21, as presented.
I think that you said May 9th.
You did. So it's May 19th, 2022, for the record.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So.
Second.
Any discussion?
Roll call, Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Okay. Great work. So the fiscal year 2023-2024 is complete. It sure is, isn't it? The report is available in the board packet. So John, could you just share a synopsis of the report?
Sure. Just a reminder, the numbers that are presented in the packet are basically cash basis numbers. We have not yet had opportunity to fully close the books, but the accruals for our fiscal year end, we are in the process of doing that. Brian is working very hard on that and making sure look department by department, our REC programming, again, decent bump from the prior year. And then as we look at just the excess revenue over expenditures, that's right around 50% for both years. So pretty comparable to where we were at in terms of expense recognition on our REC program in the prior year. And again, a nice bump there from the prior year, 2.48 compared to 2.6. Children's Circle, we have projected out of slightly under 200,000. Right now, that number is at 213. Again, there's some year-end accruals, group payroll, things like that, that might adjust that number more in line with what we had projected out. Fitness had a good year, slightly under $9,000 excess revenue over expenditures. I know we were keeping an eye on the beach since you know, the fall, basically, and we were keeping our fingers crossed that we would break even or be a little have a little excess revenue over expenditures, and that looks to be the case. Of course, we still need to book accounts payable, but it's unlikely that we'll have significant AP that's going to be hitting the beach or boating departments for that matter. The Weinberg Ice Operations Department, we do see here that, again, cash basis, we're at about a $91,000 deficiency of revenue over expenditures compared to about $50,000 the prior year. The two main drivers of that were just increases in wages. We had the dollar increase in minimum wage, obviously, increases in salaries. And then also maintenance to the cooling floor, repairs and maintenance to the cooling floor accounted for about a $20,000 increase in that expenditure line item. So that's what got us up to about a $90,000 deficiency compared to about $50,000 the prior year. As you can see, revenue was relatively consistent year to year. The REC and corporate admin departments, our property taxes are pretty much fully collected on the 2022 tax levy year, so that's reflected in
those 4%? Numbers.
I'm sorry?
What's the exact percent?
I don't have the exact percent. They're still trickling in, and they will beyond 60 days. Ultimately, our revenue recognition policy dictates we go out 60 days to
right.
recognize it, but we're pretty close to, you know, in the high 90s at this point. And, of course, all the interest income is reflected mainly in those two departments, too. Then, I'd be happy to address any questions on the financial report.
This isn't on the financial report, but we had a delay right in this second, whatever the December installment, that's normally due in September?
Yeah, correct. This
okay.
Early fall, late summer.
But the, so which ones are collected in the fiscal year? So now we're in fiscal 2025.
Correct.
So
fiscal.
Because I thought we just paid taxes. So does that go to last year or this year?
So what you, yeah, the property tax bill that was just paid was on the 2022 levy year.
Yeah.
So that was the second installment. And that is captured as revenue in our fiscal 24,
because it was due by March 1st.
It really comes down to which year the levy is intended to finance operations. So the way it falls for us is the spring payment and the fall payment basically finance the operations for that particular fiscal year.
Okay.
So the second installment was captured in fiscal 24, and what I was pointing out to Commissioner Kobe is that look 60 days out, our fund accounting dictates that we look 60 days out and recognize anything within 60 days related to that levy as revenue. Because we only look at things that we use a current measurement focus for our fund level. So if it's collected within 60 days, it's deemed to be current. So there is potential for the 2022 levy being a portion of it, very small piece of it, being recognized in fiscal 25.
Okay. And then normally it would be next September, things are normal, right? And
yeah, it should. So the most recent payment in March That was our first installment.
The first installment.
For the upcoming fiscal year.
Uh-huh.
And that's the first installment of the 2023 levy, which is basically 55% of the 2022 tax bill.
Okay.
And then the tax bill is trued up, the amounts are trued up on the second installment.
Okay.
So that is all deferred if we collected any of that prior to fiscal year.
Oh, okay, because some people might pay it early.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. That sounds a little complicated. Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any other comments before we... So, Lisa, would you like to discuss the executive director report?
Yeah, I just want to highlight a few things. So, at our next committee meeting, we'll be doing a board activity for a comprehensive plan and because the results of the comprehensive survey we sent out to the community. So hopefully everybody has it on calendar to get here early and be fully engaged. There won't be a packet that goes out beforehand. We'll just see the agenda because everything will be handed out at that meeting that night. Weinberg closeout. Kyle, I'm going to toss that to you.
All
and
right.
John?
We are excited to report that the Weinberg Family Recreation Center project is officially closed out and final billing has been received. As a reminder, the original contract was approved in December of 2022 with $6.14 million. After all change orders and contingency credits were resolved, final contract value is $6.156 million. That 0.2% or $16,000 increase can largely be attributed to the safety and security change order that was approved in October in the amount of $66,000. So with final billing and closeout having taken place, we're pulling together all the necessary support documentation to go ahead and submit for our final reimbursement on the park grant, which would be in the amount of $1.25 million.
Okay.
Great. Pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Great job, team.
Especially in these inflationary times.
Yes, exactly. Team did an excellent job. Sustainability, we are moving ahead with goat grazing, I believe, at Milton. So we are just confirming the dates now for May, and we'll work with the village. Like we talked about the...
Goat grazing?
Goat grazing.
You know what, Jordan, when I read that in the packet, I just thought
goat
about
grazing.
Because you were so delighted.
So we'll have electric fence, and then we'll have a construction fence to keep the goats in their proper area. So this will be our test area. And we'll work with the village and we'll notify that actually Kyle's going to notify the neighbors by walking around and talking to them because we feel there'll be a lot of questions. So face to face, we're going to do this one.
What the reaction's going to be?
I think they'll be excited. I really do. They're actually quiet animals at night. So once they find that out, and we're going to have staff there part of the night and public safety. So I think we'll manage it very well. So I think they'll be excited. Questions? But will you advise? I said it would the same thing. It would be interesting. So we're kind of excited at that for a very nice sustainability effort. We have some sad news. Jack Gazella is retiring.
No.
Yes. After what, 20?
It's going to be your 22nd year.
22nd no, year.
No.
God bless her. We did nominate her for the Chamber, what was it called? Community
Chamber
Impact Honor. Award.
Community Impact
yep.
Award.
So that she is receiving it. She is going to get that award at a lunch on Wednesday, April 24th, from 11 a.m. to 1:15. If any
Wednesday,
board members like to attend.
24th.
Wednesday the 24th.
All right, I'm going to put that in my board calendar to see if I can do it.
Okay, just
what
let
time,
us know.
What time?
11 to 1.
It's a long lunch.
It is a long lunch. They have other people too, so. We'll also be doing a luncheon, a going away luncheon for her year too. If you're part time, you're over 20 years, you get a luncheon. So she's been a great member of our team. We're very sad to see her go, but we're very happy for her. She was telling us stories that the kids, well, now her first students, 22 years ago, are now parents to kids coming to the program. And a lot of the kids work through camp under her, and then one of her daughters end up being a camp counselor and running a camp now based on her experience here. So we're very sad but very happy for her.
Second teacher.
Really?
First teacher was Miss Dina, Miss Rhodes.
Yes.
Dina.
Dina, I remember.
Come home and say, Miss Dina, Miss Rose.
It's lucky, we are lucky to have her. Matt Walker has been promoted to Assistant Director of Parks and Maintenance. As you recall, right before Chris left, we were talking about adding this position, and so we waited for Kyle to figure out what his needs are. So this is the right timing and the right person, so we're happy to have him move into that role. Especially if we pass a referendum, he has a lot of projects. We're going to need that extra help. Mm-hmm. We also are thrilled to move Ashley Martinez to a full-time position as the Recreation and Facilities Team coordinator. So she'll be doing our facility rentals and then also helping with other projects in the recreation team. So she's, if you don't know Ashley, she's been working with us part-time for many years, and we're happy to move in that position.
It was her first job. It was her first job.
We were her first job. So we love that.
Pretty much her only job.
Yeah. So. She's really good, too. And so there's a, that's a, very proud of us.
She's been director for a number of years. Yeah.
The team has already started posting for our summer jobs, both parks and recreation. So they're already going to job fairs, and they're interviewing for interns. We really hit it hard during spring break, hoping to get a lot of our kids committed during this time. So we'll be really ramping up that for a busy summer season.
Do you expect to hire more year over year given the enrollment?
Slightly more in camp. Beach is around the same, so between 55 and 60. Our count numbers are so strong, so we're about two positions in the preschool away from being fully staffed. Preschool is actually a little bit easier because it tends to be teachers who are looking for a similar role in the summer.
The spring summer guide came out. Kudos to Erin for facilitating that and getting that out. And we're already starting to work on fall. Sorry. Just one, we have a lot of information there, but I just wanted to bring Bobby to bring up ELC and some of the issues in our half-day preschool.
Yeah, you'll see from the report that our enrollment has been weaker than previous years. We have been kind of mentioning the board over the last year. We've noticed some weakness in the half-day. There's a lot of half-day options out there. We are looking at what is the option for that, whether we combine classes or look at a different structure. We're looking to make some decisions here in the next couple of weeks, probably early April. We've done a lot of work over the last year, either engaging with new parents, parent testimonials, a social media campaign, Messy Morning, which was targeted emails to 400 people, Tots and Tunes a couple of weeks ago, and we're really not getting a huge amount of traction in the half day. We're still getting a lot of traction in our full day. So the staff, our team of early childhood is looking at what our options are to maintain quality preschool and making sure that we offer options for kids to get ready for kindergarten, so including our kindergarten readiness. So we'll have more to report in April, but wanted to get it on the board's radar that we haven't seen a dramatic increase in enrollment in our half-day preschool.
Do we know what's driving that other than just competition?
There's a big trend right now from what we can tell from Montessori, which is a more structured environment, longer day. We're also having people send their children to us to, when they're not potty trained, and when they are becoming potty trained, then going to some of the Catholic and Jewish schools or Montessori. So we've surveyed the families. The surveys have been very good. The feedback has been very good, but they seem to be looking for longer day options or the Montessori Catholic school or religious school.
How much of a longer day?
So the Montessori tends to be more like the 4 to 6 hours.
Would we consider 4 hours?
Everything's on the table for sure. We obviously have to deal with some of the regulations around DCFS. Then we have space constraints to make sure that those programs are in a licensed wing. But yes, we are absolutely considering other options.
Any questions on that one?
Was that part of the community feedback at all on what they want? So we can incorporate?
I think the feedback's, before speaking too early on it, but our early childhood is very well received. I think the testimonials that we put out there speak to that. Really, it's a demand issue, and I know some other preschools in the area are having some sort of demand issue in a half day.
We're not the only ones.
We don't think it's a quality issue from everything that we researched or gained feedback. It really is on the con side.
Do you think it's just that there's more double working parents than there used to be?
I do. I think if you looked at the long-term 10-year trend, half day, we used to have 2 4-year-old classes, and then when we basically 50% increase in children's circle, it went in half. We lost one of those 4-year-old classrooms. And we have continued to see that. Coming out of COVID, we saw kind of a bump in the half day as parents wanted to make sure their children got into preschool. Well, that trend is definitely, unfortunately, the trend. It's trending downwards. We identified this time last year.
We have these.
You have these cycles that come and go over the past many years. But I think part of it is also the challenge of, in order to send your kid to those preschools, either A, you're a stay-at-home parent, or B, you have a supplemental nanny, and I imagine the supplemental nanny is catastrophically expensive these days.
Yeah.
And so that pushes you to we had a supplemental nanny, and it's just, today's hard. It's much harder in 2024 pre-pandemic, post-pandemic.
Mm-hmm. What we hear from parents too is the Montessori, the structured environment of Montessori, that seems to be very trendy right now, and people want that. Our philosophy is very much play-based, and the children are exploring on their own, making friends. Like Montessori is very regimented. Hopefully, we'll come full circle.
Thank you, Bobby.
I have one more question.
Okay.
The Montessori's, I would assume, have wait lists, though. I mean, that's what I've heard, so.
Yeah, I haven't heard of them being full.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're a little puzzled, too, why they go in that direction and how they have capacity.
Yeah. Because I was thinking that I thought there were always wait lists. Maybe I am misinformed. And that if they couldn't get in, they'd have to go somewhere.
It's funny because if you see the drop off from our twos down to our threes and threes to the four, when we survey those parents and talk to them, where are they going? They're going to Montessori, or they're going to the Jewish school or the Catholic school. They're just actively seeking them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you posted on that as we brainstorm that one. We went to the legislative breakfast. Thank you, Commissioner Spector, for joining Bobby and I and talking about the different legislation that's coming up. Probably the biggest thing on our radar, in which I've been working very hard, and John, is the paid leave ordinance. We've been, while we agree that our part-time year-round staff should have paid time off, and actually we're already incorporating that into our updates in our personal policy manual before this even came into effect. The timeliness of it, they passed in December and wanted it in effect in January. So we have been successful in getting a pause for school district and park district, so it won't go into effect till next January. And then we're working with them on the rules. We're really pushing hard. The intent for this paid leave is that for high school and college kids, for our seasonal workers. That's where we don't see that as being in need. So that's something we're continually working with our commissioner for Cook County, and we'll continue to do that. But at least now we have time to build it into our budgets for future years, because it will be costly if we have to pay time off for our seasonal work. Plus, it might result in us having to close camp a day or at the beach a day if we have everybody wanting to take off, for example, the same day as Lollapalooza, for example, which is a hard day anyways. So that's something we'll continue to work with our commissioners on. So we have some headway, but not as much as we would like. So any questions on that? Okay, I think that's it. Any other questions on my report? High level overview.
No, I just want to comment that the camp enrollment is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, the team's done a great job putting a really great camp option available for the community.
They really have.
I wonder, do you have a Can we get with Catherine and find out what the enrollment is in our schools and look at the Glencove, the resident rate camp subscriptions, camp enrollment? Yeah, I'd like to understand what is going on. Are we still at like, is it 20% of our school kids? I mean, obviously some of our kids go to private school here, and some, you know, so it's gonna be hard to do, but is it like 20% of our kids go through this camp, and is it now 25%, or is school enrollment raising, and we're just going with it? It'll be interesting to understand that trend, to find out if we are growing with the community, or if we're growing beyond.
So the school just did a 10-year enrollment analysis. They hired a contractor to do that, and pretty much the takeaway from the report is that enrollment is flat completely with
the school.
The school.
So the future
enrollment is right around that 1,200 student mark for K-3.
But like last year, we were still 12. Like, has Catherine's been flat for the past 5-10 years as well?
Pretty much. They've grown a little bit, but they've fluctuated by 20-30 students. But then basically that within, I don't want to quote the report, but it was very negligible changes over the next 10 years. So that's something we review with our team as we go through camp planning. But then they presented it to the school board, and the community staying is the same.
And then,
to your question, it's probably around 30 to 40% of school age kids are coming through our program.
And then are you seeing...
How much, 30 to 40%?
30 to 40. I can get them. We'll present it in the camp report this year for you.
I'm more curious to understand as well. And it's, so it sounds like our camps are growing faster than our community.
Correct.
And are Glencove kids attending more at a higher rate than... Historically, or is it growth coming from Glencove residents or non-Glencove residents?
Both. I think the quality and the value proposition has changed. So I think Commissioner Spain, President Spain, is saying that a banner is $9,000 now, while an option with the Park District is more in the $2,000 to $2,500 range. The value propositions for parents, and also the hard work we've done based on feedback from the board of deposit options, being able to lock in November and December and deciding. That has made a huge game changer because parents have now decided, and then they're telling other parents, hey, we've already made a decision, rather than waiting to April to make that decision.
And probably more for committee meeting than board meeting, but I'll ask anyway. Have we ever considered, I mean, the biggest thing, and I think all of us have kids, one of the biggest challenges to our camps versus other camps is the transportation. Have we ever looked at busing an option?
Honestly, we have not. Picking up from the cost would be pretty considerable. We've not looked at it, to be honest, because we haven't had any issues with demand.
Yeah.
And it hasn't really come up either.
You know, we use the before and aftercare.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Fun. So like Maddie is doing like aquatics and stuff, but because we have the before and aftercare, we don't need the bus. With the other camp, we need it because it's
the timing's
awful.
I don't know. It'll be I don't think obviously we're not doing anything for this year, but as you think about long term, and if we want to grow these camps, and maybe we can't even grow them. It'll be interesting maybe in our survey for next year to say, you know, if we had a busing option that cost $300 additional, would you be interested?
Sports camp would send our middle one to the busing option, and that is like,
I don't know, whatever the cost would be.
And I would challenge, is that our mission, to provide transportation? Do you want us to spend that time, because it's a considerable amount of staff time, to organize busing? Is that what our mission is? Especially when we have a before and after school option to drop off early and pick up late.
I mean, I would just put it on the table. I'm not saying we should do it. I don't even know if we have the demand for it.
Right.
It's just for me, I know that's one of the biggest differences between, I think swimming is a huge difference between our camps and other camps, and I think transportation is a huge difference between our camps and other camps. Otherwise, I think the structure is fairly similar. Maybe food, maybe lunch options are different. Other camps provide food and we don't, but like, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what's that formula that
I don't know. I think some of it is the perception of wanting to pay want because it has a certain perception to it. What I find is a lot of parents are choosing to do maybe only 4 weeks of Tamarack or Banner and then for the rest of the summer park district, and rather than committing to the full camp experience. I think it's just kind of a, I don't know if it will, you know what I mean, there's a certain image that people like, that's what's most expensive is the best, even though it may not be.
Yeah, I've heard of that happening in once in a while. But anyway, it's
although I agree
probably more worth the discussion at the committee meeting, but those are off to
no.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Actually, I have a thought. Speaking of that, since we partner with Northbrook, we would never do like a swimming lesson day for the kids in Sun Fond.
Who could that pay for it? So some of the challenges in the past, it was about $9,000 to do it with the busing and the lessons at Highland Park. And the time in which we could do it was very minimal because the pools don't like to close for lessons during the busiest times of the day. So that the value was not there for us. We were getting there, we were getting a lot of time, it was very costly. One thing that is, going back to the busing, is our busing has doubled in the last two or three years. So every time we get a bus, it's no longer $200 or $300, it's $600 or $700, which erodes our budget very quickly. So, but it's not to say we couldn't do some options. We do a lot of field trips to park facilities, but something we can definitely look in. We are looking at it for Game On, Sports for Girls, busing option, because there is a more regional draw, swimming. As add-ons, it just becomes, when our traditional day camp, it becomes very admin intensive and tracking and have logistically challenging. But all things we will continue to explore.
I mean, I don't think it's essential. I think most people just continue the same all year round swimming lessons, and it's fine. It sounds like it's not worth it.
It's a challenge.
It is. Okay. Anything else?
Can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh my goodness, right. Jordan, you are.